Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wartell. This year is in loving memory of Sarah Bat Menachem Mendel. May her neshama have an aliyah. And this is Parshat Ki Tisa. So many different things to talk about in this week's Parsha. And we're also kind of sandwiched between Truma Tetzava and Vayakel Pekudeh. Many different reasons, many different portion talk about that. We're not going to get into that right now, but I would like to mention that I will hopefully be posting a video on my YouTube channel. Like once in a while, I give a video share in addition to my audio and written tours. And I hope to be posting that sometime this weekend based on, it's connected actually more so to the Inyanim of Truma, but obviously then it ties into, you know, Vayakel as well. Different issues about the many, many different, so those hints and insights into parts of the Mishkan. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today, we are going to be talking about jewelry in a sense, but related to the Chet HaEgel, right? Which unfortunately is a little bit of a downturn, right? So obviously this was a big blemish in our nation's history, right? So we had, unfortunately, the episode of the Sin of the Golden Calf, and this was part of the Chet HaEgel, and Bnei Yisrael, as kind of like an atonement, was asked to strip themselves of all their jewelry, right? Symbolic act of denouncing their prior donations of their jewelry to form the Chet HaEgel in the first place. Now, as we know, the way it's worded in the pasuk is that Aaron specifically, you know, told them, ask your wives, ask your children for the jewelry, thinking they're not going to give them up, and they didn't, right? Like the women were tzidkios, they were righteous, and they didn't give up their gold or jewelry, and so the men took their own jewelry, right? The men there actually had jewelry that they got from Mitzrayim. So Aaron was using that as a tactic of delay, but the men unfortunately were zealous, or at least some of the men, obviously not all Klal Yisrael, but a select but significant portion was zealous, and they took their own jewelry to make the Chet HaEgel. So now to denounce this, they are forced to remove all of the jewelry. Now the wording of the pasuk is V'yitnatzlu b'nei Yisrael et ed yam, and b'nei Yisrael emptied themselves of their jewelry. Now the word for jewelry here is not the typical word tachshitim, or something similar, but rather ed yam, their ed, or eddies, which is a word that's strikingly similar to that of aid, which means witness, among other things, but that's the most common use of that shoresh. Now, is definitely not a coincidence. Bnei Yisrael has just had an amazingly unique experience. They witnessed Hashem speaking to an entire people, an entire nation. They have just fallen from this incredibly, incredibly high level that nobody has ever experienced before, certainly not a group of people, and thus were forced to give their jewelry. What was their jewelry? Chazal teach that this is the metaphor crowns of Na'aseh and Nishma, right? Of we will do and we will hear, that Bnei Israel merited in order to experience such an event. They now lost these crowns, their Ed Aleph Dalad Yud, their jewelry, which is can be broken down into Aid plus Yud, which is signifying their testimony to Yud, which is symbolic of spirituality, or their testimony to God, right? And instead, that became the inversion, Yada, which means to know. Rather than being the symbols of Hashem's communication, they merely became knowledgeable of it, right? They no longer were as connected on the same level as they were to the experience that they had at Har Sinai. It became more of a memory. And, you know, okay, we experienced it, but they weren't intrinsically connected to it on the same way they were before. It was an amazing memory, an amazing experience, but it was no longer as much a true part of them. Something had been removed, which is really unfortunate. Now, furthermore, the word used to describe the removal of their jewelry is v'yitnatzlu. Now, two times earlier in the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, this root is used to express Bnei Israel emptying the Egyptian of their valuables, which is interesting, right? When they're forcing the Egyptians to get rid of their jewelry. Now, here too, the meaning is utilized effectively in the same manner, but it's in the self-reflexive, as the Jewish people had to remove it themselves, right? It wasn't one person removing from another person. They had to remove their own valuables. However, one may point out this is not the only meaning of the root natsal, nun tzadi lamed. It appears two other times in the Torah bearing the same general meaning of saving or sparing, and it's actually related to the word hitzil, which means to save, right? It's the same general root. Although Bnei Israel lost much of their stature, they could still hold on to some of it if they worked together in repentance. Now, the first stage of this repentance was relinquishing of their jewelry, whatever they had left, which enabled them to save, to some extent, their Edyam, their status as an Edah, a congregation. That got compromised once again by the Meraglim, but for now, it was mostly intact. Obviously, they lost the glory and the connection they had because of the Chet HaEgel, but they still had a significant piece of it left. Now, the next step for the Jewish people was to fully accept and embrace the second set of Luchos, the second set of tablets. And therefore, Moshe is asked to carve out a second set, because he broke the first, different explanations about that, when he saw Klal Yisrael Israel worshiping the eagle, the golden calf. So he carved with his own hands, whatever exactly that means, he carved with his own hands a second set, which Hashem inputted the divine words, right, as opposed to the first set of tablets, which is fully made by Hashem. Now, the expression used for this is when Hashem commands Moshe, "Psal lecha shnei luchot avanim karishonim." Carve for yourself two stone tablets like the first ones. Now, the word chosen for carve is psal, a root often used to connote invalidity, like puzzle, right? We say something is puzzle or pasul, that means invalid. So this expression is used again several psukim later when Moshe actually carves the tablet. And it says, "Vayifsal shnei luchot avanim karishonim." And there are other words for carve. So why does it specifically use this, right? So aside from the fact that these second tablets were not carved like the first, which were through the finger of God, whatever exactly that means, they were carved by Hashem, there are many questions that to be asked in these psukim. So I'm going to simply focus on the root of pasal in this case, in these two psukim. Why was this root of pasal used, which seemingly means ineligible, it means off, right? It's not, like, it's a strange word to use. Now, interestingly enough, this is going to maybe throw you for a loop, the root pasal, pesamech lamed, is numerically the same as nun tzadi lamed, which means to remove or empty, right? As the words we use by the jewelry. For when something is invalidated, it is removed or emptied from its function. Now, additionally, in order to carve something, one needs to remove what is inside the groove being carved. So that's more of a practical connection. So perhaps, therefore, it was the rejection of B'nai Israel's elite status that was being invalidated, and that they could once again reach a high level if they would not act superficially, but dig and carve to understand the Torah. So again, let me explain that again. So this root of pasal was not necessarily saying, and actually wasn't saying, that B'nai Israel was invalid. But by Moshe re-establishing the luchos, and by him, with his own hands, re-engraving the luchos, right? I mean, it's a different set, but effectively doing it again. By engraving the luchos again, and specifically using the lesson of pasal, he was removing the stone that was inside, which is actually sapphire, by the way, not like granite or something. It's amazing to think about, right? But he was removing the invalidity, that which was tainted, if you will, right, from it, that B'nai Israel still had this possibility of reaching these incredibly high levels. I don't know if they would be able to reach the same Madriga as they were at Har Sinai, but they could still reach extremely, extremely high levels. As long as they were to dig and carve in to understand the Torah, they would have to apply things. And what's interesting is that the first set of luchos was work created by Hashem, and nevertheless could be broken by mankind, so too the second set could be broken by mankind in a certain sense. And B'nai Israel has to therefore ensure its upkeep. And therefore, we have a responsibility throughout the doros, throughout the generation, to ensure the upkeep of these luchos and everything they represent. Even if we don't have the physical tablets, but everything that is represented within them, we have to upkeep in our daily lives, our communal lives, everything. Now, just as the first luchot were divine, so too the second luchot are divine. They might not have been quite on the same level, but everything contained within the luchos, physically, spiritually, metaphorically, teaching, everything was divine. And therefore, Hashem gives B'nai Israel these luchot as both a gift and a symbol of the eternity of the Jewish nation. That even the stone was a hard stone. It was sapphire. It wasn't granite. It wasn't going to wither and crumble. It was going to stay permanent. The engraving was going to stay permanent. The words and other messages, everything in it was going to remain permanent. So even though it wasn't 100% divine, since Moshe was the one who carved it, it was still had an amazing permanence to it, and it still had a divine message of an infinite nature. For even one who attempts to seemingly, chas v'shalom, invalidate the Torah, there are always Hashem's attributes of mercy and the ability to do teshuva and become spared. And therefore, one person can still, again, this gets into a whole different discussion, but a person can technically even invalidate his own invalidations. If a person goes the wrong way and carves away Torah from him so that Torah is not part of him, he can then dig again and recreate Torah and recreate a proper way and forge a path forward with teshuva. And of course, Hashem's rachamim, which Moshe prayed for in this week's parsha, and therefore we can be spared. So we always have the opportunity to dig deeper and to carve ourselves out and to rid ourselves of any invalidation and impurity, and we can be holy and on one of the highest levels. Wishing well, Shabbat Shalom.